track. My name is Ann-Marie Eklund Lövinder. I am the quality and security manager of .se, and I have also been working a long time with DNSX. The first .se project started back 99. Oh, feels like forever. I'm very delighted that you are here, and we are now going to discuss this very popular team that is threats, the dark side. The basic idea with this session is to explain any eventual problems involved in using DNSSEC and to discuss which problems are real and which aren't, and maybe even getting rid of some FUD, you know, fear, uncertainty and doubt in this area, because we have enough actually to cope with without needing a lot of extras that we don't think is a problem at all. We have about 90 minutes to share, and to be honest, I did not plan to give an extensive presentation myself. I think it's much more worthwhile for the audience to be able to listen to our distinguished lecturers. We will start with Mr. Hjelte Jansen from NLNet Labs. He will be presenting his findings and recommendations from a key maintenance analysis, which you all have in your bag, in the printed version. There is another version on the website, which is more, it's just another version, formatted. This project was sponsored by .se and documented in a report. During his presentation, he will go through everything that needs to be considered for the generation, storage, and use of keys in the context of DNSSEC. Hjelte, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Is this... Oh, yeah. Can you understand me like this? I'm just trying out the volume level. I see heads nodding. Let me see which one... Ah, oh, we put it on. Just like that. Ah, there it is. So, .se has asked me to write a little document which you have found in your bags about key maintenance and problems you might find there. Initially, we started out by making an attack tree, just from the point of view of an attacker. How would you attack keys in specific? It is a successor document to an earlier one my colleague did on general DNS and DNSSEC threats. As a small research and development foundation, NLNet Labs has no operational experience, and we don't claim to have any. So the writing of this document is kind of a desk study. We've looked into failure modes, both direct attacks and operational mishaps. And we've then decided to spend even more time on key management issues, the deployment choices you can make regarding keys, rollover schemes, storage of keys, and publication. Of course, there's a lot more to DNS and DNSSEC that we could talk about. There's repository corruption, domain hijacking, compromised machines, man in the middle, DOS attacks, snooping, NSSEC walking, monitoring, much, much more. Lucky for you, I understand you have quite a nice lunch. I won't go into those today. If you do want me to go into those, you have to invite me again. So let's talk about attacks. DNSSEC uses asymmetric key scheme. So that means we have private keys and public keys. The private keys are supposed to be private, so you store them in your safe somewhere. But still, they could be attacked in different ways. We've identified three general ways: the cryptographic attack, the social attack, and the physical attack. And for the public keys, we find also that there are three forms of attacks: modification, cryptographic, and attack on the publication mechanism. For cryptographic attacks, there's the algorithm weakness. If you should choose a certain algorithm, it might be that it contains weaknesses that would allow an attacker to create fake signatures. For instance, one of the possible algorithms in DNSSEC is RSA MD5, and MD5 has some known weaknesses. Those weaknesses would not apply in the way we use them in DNSSEC, but history teaches us that once a weakness is found, another one is right around the corner, so MD5 is already not advised to be used. The other current algorithms are preferred, which are RSA-SHA-1 and DSA. And of course, there is a lot of research in both cryptography and cryptanalysis, and any algorithm that's perfectly safe today can be nothing tomorrow. So you'll want to choose your algorithm with care, and I'll talk later a bit about rollover and algorithm rollover in specific. Another thing is entropy weakness. Recently, there's been quite some talk about the Debian OpenSSL bug. They somehow managed to make a really tiny mistake in the way OpenSSL is used on Debian that resulted in all the keys being perfectly random, but only out of a set of about 60,000 possible keys. So any key that was made using those machines and all derivatives of Debian contained fatal weaknesses and were easily deductible. The vulnerability report mostly talked about SSL keys, but any key that's made for any algorithm or protocol is to be considered weak and should be removed immediately. Of course, when you want to counter something like this, the first thing you do is the machine you create your keys on should be safe, and you should look into any possible known weaknesses. But there are weaknesses. The SSL bug in Debian has festered for over 2 years. So there might be other weaknesses that you're not aware of on your current systems. Therefore, I advise to keep a log of all the keys you have. If you only have one or two keys in your system, that's not a problem. If you have 1,000, it's going to be a problem, because you might have rolled a few and they may be made with different libraries or different options. I would advise you to keep a log of exactly the environment you made every key in, so that if such a bug is ever found again, you know exactly what keys to roll and you don't have to re-sign everything you've made so far. Keys can, of course, be attacked by brute force. There's not much that you can do about that except use longer keys. There are, of course, reasons not to use too long keys. For instance, if you use RSA, then a longer key means longer signatures, more data in your zone, more memory, more traffic. So you want to choose exactly the right amount of bits in your keys. RFC 4641 has some recommendations. They are under discussion at the moment, because a few cryptographers decided that the recommendations there are crap and we should use other ones. NIST has some quite nice documents. They are more general on cryptography, and they have some other choices you could use. There's, of course, the social attack. It would be on your people. Attackers would try to get the keys while they are not entitled to have them. There's not much you can do about this in a technical way. The only counter to this is to have strict policies to make sure the people involved in your key operations are educated and know what they should do and what they should not do. And you have to store your keys somewhere, and the medium of storage can be attacked. If you put it on an USB stick, it can be stolen. If you put it on a computer, it can be destroyed or stolen as well. Even if it's a 1U rack, it's heavy, but it can be stolen. If you put your keys in a bunker, it can be bombed, which might be a bit overkill to bring somebody's zone down, but that's something you might want to take into consideration. Earlier today, we talked about RFC 5011. Which is a way to automate key rollover. It can invalidate keys. It can revoke them. But you need the key itself to revoke it. So if you lost your key, you cannot revoke your own key anymore. This is something to keep in mind when you want to implement that. Public keys are by definition public, so you will need to send them out to people and you cannot keep them a secret. One obvious form of attack is to modify them. If you're an attacker and you can get your key into a key set before a zone is signed, you've hit the jackpot. If the operator doesn't realize that one of the keys that's now considered trusted is not his, then you can do whatever you want with your own private key. You could try as an attacker to modify keys on the wire, which would mean that you have to fake signatures, which is the goal of your exercise in, to start with, so that might not be as much of a problem. You could try, if the parent zone is signed, to get your keys up to the parent. This kind of depends on the way they use to get their child's keys, and as a parent, you'll have to make sure that the way people upload their keys to you is safe. And of course, you can try to convince people to set your fake key as a trust anchor. As a zone operator, it's pretty hard to prevent attacks like this. The most you can do is to have a clear policy on how you're distributing keys, when you're distributing keys, where you're distributing keys, so that a fake key is immediately recognized as being fake. You could think of some cryptography attacks on public keys. For instance, in theory, there might be algorithms where the secret key could be derived from the public key. It would be a terrible algorithm. No such algorithms are probably even allowed near stuff like this. So I mention it, but I don't think it's gonna be too much of a problem. If an algorithm is found to have a weakness like this, it should be rolled out immediately, and it will probably be wildly publicized that it should. Since you're publishing your public keys, the publication mechanism itself could be attacked. You're distributing it out of band or in band. If you're doing it in band, then that's probably gonna be secured by DNSSEC itself, so the attacker would have a looping problem. If you're doing it out of band, you'll want to make sure that it's safe. I'll give an example of how RIPE does this. Maybe we can talk a bit later about how SE does it, although I think it's been mentioned this morning. Something to consider. There are other deployment choices. I've already mentioned the word policy twice, I think. Here's three more. Everything you do should be written down if it's related to something important like your private keys. You'll want to have your staff educated. You could have a policy that every key operation should have